The point I make is that Miles Morrow said that, listen, that God wanted to cleanse some things. Later I heard Rick Joyner describe another earthquake around that time that is struck because of the iniquity in California. And don't tell me God doesn't do bad things. You know what I mean by bad? He judges. That's what it means when he says he's the judge. What am I saying? The angels of God, that's how they manifest. You see, the wind began to blow, and naturally people could observe them. That's what I'm trying to bring out. People could observe it. Listen, let me just say something. Spiritual things, that's how they work. They don't always come out. You know, when you watch films, you see witches will come to somebody's room at night. They just appear from the wall. I don't watch those films because it confuses people. Witches don't have time to walk through your walls. It's unnecessary. In the realm of the spirit, there's no distance. I don't have to come to your room. Didn't you hear one man who knew small? He just said, speak the word only. You don't have to come to my house. Spiritual things don't have to, you know, they just say, hey. You only scare small children. People like me get irritated. I just put off the TV. Spiritual things come naturally. Are you getting my point? They enter into the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is, except you had understanding, you wouldn't know that God was sitting with you and Jesus would come to your house. Do you get the point? The word became flesh. Jesus was a natural, you know, he just a normal person. The Bible says he had no comeliness that we should desire him. He wasn't a young man that all the babes ran to his house. No. We just another person. The only time you knew something was strange about him was when he talked. If he kept his mouth quiet, you would pick a fight with him, not knowing that angel is going to break you just now. He was just a normal person. He would come to class, assuming it's today's day and age. He would go to school normally. A teacher would say, hey, you, Joshua, stand up normally. The only thing the teacher will notice is that when this boy opens his mouth, something is all up. That the teachers would be reading before they come to his class. Because if you notice, he didn't used to argue with elders. I don't have time to go into that. He only used to ask questions that made them think. I know if you don't think about it well, you think, ha, you just shove. Everybody sit down, let me teach you physics. When Isaac Newton was under the tree, I threw down the apple. So I know acceleration due to gravity. It is not 10 meters per second squared. It is 9.85261187. I made the apple and I made the gravity. It wasn't like that. You will show up, they will say something, they will say, excuse me, sir. But if that was influenced by the viscosity of the air, what would have happened? The teacher would look and say, how does this boy know about viscosity of the air? I'm going to let you hear. He was just a normal person. Even John, with all his anointing, did not suspect until the day of baptism. And they were cousins. You know that? John had to wait. And God said, I will show you something. When he appeared, oh, see, I see my cousin is coming. No. Then he saw the dove appear and rest on him gently. Ah. So, boy, why did they do like this? All these years we have been in the same household, you never told me anything. Miracles can appear very common. That's what I'm trying to say. The miracle that will turn your life around will show up normally. Oh, God. It will show up normally. It's not as if your uncle suddenly come one day, he'll become president, and then you are made, which is what a lot of corrupt Nigerians are waiting for. Is this same job you are doing? Do you get what I'm saying? Is this same thing that you are doing that God will breathe upon? Somebody will see it and say, this is skill. Who did this? And that's it. You are moving from one level to another. Listen, the only time you know a miracle occurred is when you look back. Looking ahead, you won't know it's a miracle. It's when one day you just finish a meeting, finish signing a big deal, and you come out of the hotel room that's in Switzerland and you look back. Wow, I'm missing Bible study today. Then it dawned on you that, what? I'm not even in Nigeria. It's when you realize that you are going to miss Bible study for like 2 consecutive Saturdays. There's only dawned on you that, no, I must do something. That is, until then, you didn't realize your level had changed. I hope you are getting my point. I think it's a big problem we have. This everybody is looking for one, you know. Tonight, by tomorrow, you won't recognize yourself again. You will recognize yourself. Forget all of those things. You You recognize yourself. Hey, you will. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So the wind began to blow. That's the point I'm making. It was the intensity that was striking. Now, please notice something. Verse 22. Okay, let's just finish verse 21. The strong wind blew all night, all right, and turned the sea into a dry land so that the waters were divided. And the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Now, please note verse 23. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen went in after them into the midst of the sea. And it came about at the morning watch that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. And it caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and it made them drive with difficulty. So that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." I'm going to stop there, all right? Because of time, so that you can read. Of course, you know the rest of the story. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and then everything returned to normal, and then those people drowned, and then their bodies were washed up, all right, to the shore, and the Israelites saw those things there. And then they now began to sing in chapter 15. What I want to just bring out to you again, just to emphasize the normalcy, all right, that this thing must have appeared, the way it must have appeared then. Listen, let me ask you a question. Think about it. Were the Egyptians entirely stupid? No, think about it. Were they entirely stupid? You know, let me just explain something to you. That's why, please, you must always have faith in God. Stop expecting life to be unusual. Sometimes when God wants to show mercy, scientists will discover a drug. And that's it. You see, they'll think that, and that's what's confusing human beings. They think because scientists discovered penicillins, and then now they can treat infections, they think science is God. No, that was a manifestation of divine mercy. Are you following the point I'm making? The Egyptians were not entirely stupid. The reason why Pharaoh, when you hear God say that, "I will harden his heart." Listen, let me not even go into that in details. This is how it manifested. The reason why Pharaoh will change his mind was that the people will come and explain to him the natural phenomena behind the things that happened. Initially, when those things will happen, you say, "Ah, what's going on?" No, these people, they are causing problems. Somebody will come and say, "Excuse me, sir, why are you talking like this? Is this the first thing that's happening? Is this the first time it's happening?" Remember in our record books, 86 years ago, this happened. There was a kind of hail that fell at this particular time. Remember the number of animals that died? It's on record. And our astrologers have plotted that periodically these things happen. Are you getting my point? And they say, "Eh," and God, will say, one lying spirit will come and say, "That's the truth, though. Don't let Moses fool you." And he will nod his head. And that's how he suffered until his wife put pressure on him. How did I know? When his first son died, I imagine that the wife said, "Hey, this is enough." Now, I'm bringing an issue here. Why did they follow those people into the midst of the waters? Because they could understand what was going on. We read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 now that they attempted it also, then they perished. Listen, it made sense to them. That's why they followed. It was when they got in there and they couldn't move as smoothly as they had planned. They didn't know something's out of order. And then I believe at that point, the water was beginning to, the wind began to die down. They said, "These guys have trapped us. Let's move back." By that time, it was too late. I'm looking at the issue here. Listen. It appeared natural. And when you watch TV, every day when God is judging people, they say it's a scientific problem. It's a fault. It's a what do you call this thing? It's tectonic plates that are shifting under the earth. And there is a fault line that does not pass through Africa, but it passes through China and passes through Japan. I say, listen, God forbid that should happen in Africa. But if God wants to start happening, he will crack the fault. You will find the fault and it will start happening. And if we don't want fault lines, what we will pray is the mercy of God upon Nigeria. And please let no scientist lie to you. That's because we don't have tectonic plates that have faulted. When God says, use earthquake as judgment, our own two go crack. One go shift, go north, another go shift, go south. That's it, earthquake. 7.0, may it not happen in Jesus' name. Uh-huh. So what we need is the mercy of God. Please notice that. That's what I've said up to this time. that supernatural things is when we start telling stories like that they appear supernatural. Most of the time, while they are happening, people don't even know what's going on. And I want you to, I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to know that when your life will begin to take, you know, take a turn. Look, listen, the day David, Joseph woke up in the morning, you know, some people, you know, once we did a drama once in school, just to give us an example, just to illustrate this thing better. And there was a particular scene in which, you know, was African-based drama, one witch doctor was trying to jazz one young man. And so when we're plotting it, people said that, okay, let's do such a matter that as the boy is praying, thunder will be striking in that man's shrine back in the bush. So that day was there when they were doing that scene. I just said, no, guys, please, no. That's not good. That's not how God works on our behalf, actually. When Balaam came, the Bible says that he saw the children of Israel, they were camped like sheep. Those guys were relaxing in the evening, probably eating. The manna they have not finished. Just relaxing. They didn't know anybody was trying to cast a spell over them. That's why I keep on telling you, those who tell you that your enemies are not asleep, why are you sleeping? Tell them it's because they are sinners. Me, I'm a righteous man. Righteous men sleep. In peace will I lay me down and what? Sleep. That's what the Bible says. Not stay awake and be praying. All this staying awake to pray against your enemies is a sign of your own insecurity. I mean that too. That's not a joke. That's not good preaching. That's truth. If you're always awake in the name of Jesus, listen, you are afraid. You don't have faith. If you had faith, you'd be asleep. If you had faith, listen to me. If you had faith, you wouldn't stay awake. You would doze off when you need and say, hey. Now, these enemies, I'm going to pray about you today. You don't sleep because you're not afraid. If you can stay awake, you're afraid. Let me leave that. All right? Are you getting my point? Listen, this is the truth. All right? I told the people that God doesn't work like that. So my friend who took that scene, the way we did the final thing was that he entered his room. And he was like, oh, in a tough day, you know. He just began to remove his shirt. Then right beside it, there was another scene that was playing beside him. That's the way we did it on the stage. And the man who was casting spell, releasing incantations, thunder was striking in his shirt. And that other fellow did not know. He never knew. He never found out. Listen to me. Many things God has delivered you and protected you from, you will never find out. He won't even tell you about them when you get to heaven. It's unnecessary. It's not going to add anything to your life. It's unnecessary. God is watching over you every day. I don't like people who preach as if, except you find out where the devil is walking and you start shooting your arrow in his direction, you are not safe. One of the greatest signs that you are safe is that you sleep. If you pray too much for security, you are a fearful man. You are a fearful woman. You are afraid. The enemies are gaining ground on you every day. If every day you are sowing seed for security, every day you wake up, you announce your premises that thief will not enter. When you want to sleep, say, in the name of Jesus, all these windows, I close you against witches. All the doors, I barricade you against enemies. Just know you are afraid. You are afraid. Those who really are walking by faith, they just enter the room, close the door, lock it, go down and sleep. They wake up in the morning and go about their normal business. So stop competing with God for his job. Do your own. You know what I said? Tell your neighbor, do your own job. Stop competing with God for his own. That's what I'm going to lay my emphasis on. That's how we did the drama. That look, listen, the guy was just taking it easy. And God was fighting on his behalf. Very important that we understand that. The man was taking it easy. And the Lord was fighting on his behalf. And that is what your own case is also. Very important we get this point. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, I didn't even get into that. But let me just get back to what I was saying. So you see, in Israel's case, Egypt, they thought that this thing was natural. They could explain it away. God opened a door for the Israelites to escape. These people wanted to follow them into that door. And then the door closed on them. What gave them the boldness to follow was because they thought it was a natural phenomenon. They thought the wind would continue to blow. They didn't know that wind came because God sent it. And the moment God said, no more wind, the wind withdrew, and then the waters came back to where they used to be. We're learning from who? Moses. I said something at the beginning. Let me explain. That's why I read this. Before the waters opened, the people thought there was no way out. In front of them was the Red Sea. Behind them was what? The Egyptian army. I said this is what faith is. For us to know that even though every door appears closed, there's a door that God is manning. Did you hear what I said? There is what? A door that God himself is the one manning. It's important we understand this. Because, you see, if we don't, we are going to be afraid. If you are afraid, you cannot fulfill the will of God for your life. You know, the other day I was talking to my students. Something led to it. And I said, listen, I hope you are not here because you want to make money. I said, those who are richer, far, far, far richer than most of the doctors you know, they didn't come as far as this level in education. No. I said, if you like to treat sick people, it's a good job that you have chosen. They are medical students, fourth year. That's the class I teach. I said to them, listen, if it's money you are looking for, you chose the wrong profession. I said, when I entered this profession, we're so poorly paid. What people did all the time was grumble about why they made this mistake. I said, now things have improved. And I said to them, by the time you are finishing, I said, it's a cycle. It will have gone. They said, no, it will not be like that. It will not be like that. I said, why are you panicking? I'm not cursing you. It's just a cycle of life. I said, listen to me. There will be so many of your type around. Government will say, look, look at this job. This is how much you are paid. If you don't like it, go to hell. And as you are leaving the job, somebody else is taking it. I said, it's a cycle of life. Don't be. So, and I was saying something. Somebody said, that. I said, listen, so all of these things is not a way by which you become rich in life. Oh. I said, but it helps. Hey. You know, when you're talking to children. Hey. He said, but it helps. I said, education helps, yes. It's good to be educated. Listen, let me say it again. God can use fishermen, amen? Amen? But by the time he's through with fishermen, they don't talk like fishermen anymore. People will know they have been with Jesus Christ, which means they will show wisdom. Are you getting my point? Yes, they will show wisdom. The kind of wisdom that PhD holders will come and listen to. Don't forget that Solomon was the wisest man until Jesus came. The wisdom of Jesus was superior to that of Solomon. So by the time the apostles spoke and they said they had been with Jesus, that is, the wisdom had trickled down to their mouth. Are you getting my point? God can use a fool, but doesn't leave him a fool. We must understand that. God can use anybody, but he packs substance into them. Because I'm trying to bring an issue here. So education is good. But like I say all the time, it's for the sake of what? Education, for being informed. It's an end in itself. Now, why am I saying all of these things? Now, just using the talk I had with my students, I realized a lot of people, this is the mistake they make. Now, somebody said it helps. You understand my point? And then a young man wants to break forth in a career in life. And somebody shows to him that, what's your qualification? He shows him, you didn't come up with a good grade. That door is what? Closed. Okay, there's no problem. But if you know somebody, and then by the time they finish interviewing him, he does not know anybody. That door is what? Closed. Okay, no problem. You know this kind of thing. It doesn't work well in Nigeria. Maybe if only you were a British citizen, No. That door is what? Closed. That is, by the time we finish analyzing all the doors, in fact, the fellow is dead. Are you getting my point? Yes. This is my message this evening. When all the doors appear closed, there is one door that God himself is manning. I said something at the beginning. Let me put another aspect to it, all right? I said that spiritual things appear natural. Are you getting my point? But this is the interesting part. They begin to appear natural because God is arranging the events in your favor. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, when God begins to rearrange the events in your favor, it will make sense. But one thing you will notice is that until you came on the scene, nobody noticed that it could work like that. I said this before, and this is very important. In life, anything you want to do, set your direction first and decide every other thing is an obstacle that must be surmounted. Let me say that again. Have you noticed, I'll say it again, but let me use this illustration. Have you noticed that that road to Onitsha, all right, between here and Onitsha, they are patching it now rapidly because of the Christmas traffic, all right, that we are all expecting. But there was a time it was very bad. Rainy season, you will see puddles here and there. Have you noticed that every time that you went to Onitsha, you never turned back because the road was bad? Once Yinka and I were going to preach in Onitsha early in the morning, I heard, twa, Tuah! I thought it was a car backfiring. Until I turned around and found out somebody was actually aiming a gun at us, and they had released two rounds. Yes, on the road there. This is the interesting part. Do you know we still went to Onitsha and we still preached that day? We did not come back home and say, Onitsha, there's no preaching possible again. What happened? They were shooting at us on the road. They were shooting at us on the road. Why should they shoot at us? Don't they know we are going to preach? Of course, we escaped from them. Like the Bible says, we have escaped from, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. We turned around, we waited. The road cleared. We still went to go and preach. We just called those we were supposed to preach for and said, please give us some extra time. We'll be there with you. What am I saying? We were heading for Onitsha to go and preach. And the armed men that were causing problems on the road could not stop us. Why? Because we had set our faces like flint. Is that what the Bible said? And we could not be turned back. Israel was going to the promised land. This was the road God led them by. The Red Sea appeared like a serious problem. But this is the interesting part. They did not turn back into Egypt just because the Red Sea was a problem. If that Red Sea had to divide, it would have divided. And it did. If God said, no, you are not dividing, we are going to get a flotilla of boats to move all of you over the next 6 months, they would have done that. But turn back to Egypt was not an option. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, everything in life is a test, is a training. Especially as a believer. Let me tell you something. Christianity, we are on a journey into a kingdom. What sets a kingdom apart? You know, I said something once, you know, if you've driven in Nigeria, you understand my point. And they drop you in America. The first thing you will notice is that your horn. If they hear it twice, police will pull you over and ask you whether you are drunk. Are you getting my point? Like, what is wrong with this man? Why is he blowing his horn like this? He said, listen, I'm a no good boy. And so would they drive for us. What am I saying? The rules are different. The laws are different. The way people behave are different. It's a sign that you have left one kingdom into another. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In Christianity, it's like that also. We have left Egypt. We are walking into the promised land. We may be on the same spot physically, but the truth is that we are changing from one kingdom into another. And in this new kingdom, what makes one kingdom different from another is that the laws are different. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? The way we do things are different. So this is what Satan tries to do. He puts obstacles on our way so that we don't change the way we do things. Because we say there is a Red Sea. What is the Red Sea? How will my children feed if I don't give bribes? Are you getting my point? You are stepping into a kingdom where men don't do business by giving bribes. On the way, what will happen is jobs will start disappearing. You will try to get something, it will not get done. Those are the Red Seas. And I'm saying to you again this evening, set your eyes on the kingdom you are going to and don't turn back because of the obstacles on the way. Please, I hope you are getting my principle. Listen, because no matter how many doors close, don't forget, there is a particular door that God is manning. Please, I hope I'm connecting with you this evening. Because we are learning from Moses. If Moses turned back and went into Egypt, he would have died in Egypt. In fact, they won't reach Egypt. They would have died in the wilderness. The Israelites that, listen to this. Oh God, we must get this point. The Israelites that turned back in their hearts, what happened to them? They died in the wilderness. The Israelites that did what? Turned back in their hearts, not physically. They turned back in their hearts. This is my lesson, my message for today. The lesson I want everybody to learn is that you are heading for another kingdom. Are you getting my point? In that kingdom, things are done differently. And what Satan wants to explain to you is that this different doing you are talking about does not work in Nigeria. And if you sit down and tell yourself, I beg it is true. Look at the whole of last year. We didn't make much money. What you are doing is that you are turning back in your heart. And you, in your own case, you won't perish in the wilderness. Because you will repent. That's the reason. It's not because God is partial. But because you will have understanding and you will repent. But those who turn back in their hearts because they got to the edge of the Red Sea, they always perish in the wilderness. And that is why it is important. That is why it is important for you to understand the message for this evening. No matter how it appears that every door has closed. In fact, you know, when I was thinking about it, I said, this is the only thing that you have to preach today. For people to go around in life knowing this, no matter how it appears that every door has closed, there is a door that only God himself is the one manning that door. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, he will open a way through the Red Sea that people did not know was possible. And listen, this is how it works. You know, sometimes, you know, one brother gave us a testimony. One member of their church in Abuja is a senator. I think either House of Rep member or a senator today. You know the way it is in Nigeria. Now, continue to pray for this country, all right? Now, let me just, I want to say this by the side and I'll go back to my story. Continue to pray for Nigeria, amen? That's number one. Number two, please don't do the deeds of Nigerians. Amen? Amen? Don't bribe anybody to get into any office. Until you are, listen to me, don't go and campaign for even councilor position until you are ready to say, I am not bribing anybody. Now, I need to say that because people sometimes pray. They don't realize that prayer has two sides to it. There is a side of what you are saying, and there is a side of who is saying it. Let me say that again. There are two sides to prayer. There is a side of what the person is saying, and there is a side of who is the person saying it. If you bend for every corrupt practice in Nigeria, your prayer is ineffective against corruption. Listen, look, that's just the way it is. If they go to church and they start declaring the name of the spirit of corruption, just first remove it from your life, remove your practice. When they say pay this tax, pay it. You know, there's one thing that my wife and I used to tell my wife those days. She said, park here. Let me quickly buy something. I said, baby, I don't like saying sorry. I'm not parking here. She said, this won't take time now. I said, whether it takes time or not. They said, no parking. That will go and park down there. Then you will walk back here. I said, well, I said, because I will feel bad if a policeman suddenly shows up from nowhere. You know, they used to do it. They know you are going to park there. They are waiting for people like you that will park there. I said, please, that kind of wahala, I don't want it. So let me suffer going to park a very distant place. And let me tell you the truth. In Nigeria, in Enugu today, as I'm saying it, I'm hearing it, my wife's hearing it, everybody's hearing it. If they clamp your tire that you parked wrongly, don't bribe anybody. Listen, it's crucial that you don't bribe anybody. Negotiate, you know, because sometimes they allow that. Okay, pay this amount here with receipt. Beg, explain, plead for mercy, but don't bribe anybody. If they say no, the fine is 10,000. Please, if you don't have 10,000, beg brethren who understand this doctrine of righteousness that we are preaching to contribute the money for you. But I'm begging you, don't bribe anybody. If we go to our office, it's 10,000. But if you just give the boys 2,000 now, we'll let you go. Tell them that pastor said this 2,000 will hurt my destiny. This 10,000 will bless me. It's a seed. Let me tell you the truth. Listen to this. No material thing is ever truly lost. Let me say it to you again. No material thing is ever what? Truly lost. Material things are the expressions of spiritual substance. Go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explained that you can kill the flesh of Isaac. The spirit of Isaac, you can't kill it. When they took everything that Job had, when God was through, the same things returned because it was a spiritual thing. They returned this time around because they had been stronger, all right, they had become stronger, they birthed double for him. Look at life like that. That money is a fine. Pay it. Give it to them. Collect your receipt. For you. It's Nigeria. Hey, I know. But you are the salt of the earth. I'm explaining a principle. That is only when you start doing things like that, that God can put an end to corruption. If you and I don't do that, you can pray till nothing will change.